Good to see everybody with us this morning, especially those of you visiting. We do have visitors with us. Thank you so much for being with us this morning and worshiping and praising God with energy and with enthusiasm. It means an awful lot to me. I'm entitling the sermon this morning, "I Thank God for You." And the reason for that title will become clear as we continue on with the sermon this morning. For a large portion of this country, and perhaps for most in this country, we're in a period of time now of gratitude, a period of thanksgiving. It'll really last from November 22nd to the end of this year. It's just a time where people tend to think more now about the blessings that they have. And any time people are thinking about their blessings, it is a good thing. But this is the time of year, you know as well as I do, where more people are doing it now than typically do throughout the year. This is a time of joy. It's a time of family and togetherness. Looking out, I see that many of the visitors with us this morning are family members of members here. That's just what we do at this time of year. We get together with our families. We have Thanksgiving, and next month, towards the end of the month, you're probably going to get together with your family again. It's just a nice time of the year. But you know what? For many of us, we see each other, we see our spiritual family much more than we see our physical, don't we? There are some here just because of circumstances, just because of distance, and because of time, you really only get to see certain members of your physical family once, twice, three times a year. Maybe you put it all together and you'll see them for, what, a total of 6 or 7 days, maybe a week for the whole year. When you factor in, you might spend the night wherever you happen to go. It's just the way it is. It's not that we don't want to see them, that we dislike them. It's just circumstances, right? But every single week, and sometimes multiple times a week, we see one another. And for many of us, our spiritual family becomes even closer, and in some cases, much closer than our physical family. I've told you many times that I appreciate you, that you mean an awful lot to me. But in the sermon this morning, I want to explain the reason why. And I don't think, as we go throughout the sermon this morning, what I say, except for perhaps one particular point, is going to be unique to me. I think we're going to see so much of what we'll talk about this morning is the reason that we mean so much to one another. And what I'm going to say is what you would say to your brethren as well. But because thanksgiving and gratitude and counting our blessings, we're at that period in the year where most people are doing it. Maybe even at Thanksgiving, as you sat around the table, maybe you took the time to say what you were grateful for. We're going to do that this morning. And beloved, I want you to know I'm grateful for you. You are such a blessing to me. First and foremost, I want to say this. I thank God for your faith. I thank God for your faith in Him and your faith in His Word. Paul thanked God for this in his brethren as well. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul said this, "And we thank God constantly for this, that when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers." In another place, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, this is what Paul says. Therefore, as you received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Beloved, you know as well as I do, we live in a world that quite frankly doesn't care very much for God today. Doesn't care very much for His Word today. And that's even true among some of those who claim to worship Jesus Christ. The way that they live shows that they don't love Him the way that they should. But I come here and I sit in the Bible classes. This isn't even talking about times when I'm blessed to be able to teach them, but I just sit in the Bible classes. And that's what they are, beloved, when we come here. They're not like that everywhere, but a Bible class here among you is a Bible class. And you open up God's Word, and you read from it, and you study from it. And I hear the comments that you make. And I hear and I see your true faith and your devotion to God. And when I come from the world, when I'm coming out of it, and I get to come back to this place that is a refuge, surrounded by you. And sometimes I come in here and I am down and I am frustrated. And I'm thinking to myself when I come in, there's just not many people left out there who even care about God and His Word today. Then I come in here among you and your faith is so evident to me. Your trust and your love for God and your love for His Word. You know what it does, beloved? It inspires me. It really does. And when I see the strength of your faith in God, in His Word, it strengthens mine. You have been doing that for me now for more than 9 years. That sounds strange to say out loud. It doesn't seem like I've been here that long. More than 9 years, you've been doing that for me. Thank you. You are a blessing to me. That way. Beloved, I thank God for your gratitude towards Him, for the grace that He has shown. Turn with me, if you will, over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, we're going to read verses 16 through 18. Romans 6, 16 through 18. Romans 6, beginning in 16, this is what Paul said. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. Over in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, in the first part of verse 25, Paul is talking about the gospel there. And he's just described what he was like without it. And he makes that horrible exclamation, at least at first, "Wretched man that I am! Who will deliver me from this body of death?" And then that goes from a horrible exclamation to a wonderful one in a single sentence. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in 1 Corinthians 15, 57, Paul said, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We live in a time when it's easy to take our blessings for granted, isn't it? When we leave this place, many of us are going to go to a restaurant to eat. We've got the money to do that. We've got the means and the ability to do that. Others of us are going to go home and have a nice meal there at the house. Perhaps leftovers from the feast we were able to have. Just a few days ago, for some of us, we were able to have two feasts. We went to one part of the family one day and another one the next. And we just, we're so blessed. And yet it's so easy to take those things for granted. And in an entitlement society where good things should just be given to me because I am me. You know, I exist, I am, therefore I deserve anything good that comes down the way. When I hear your prayers, and I hear your comments, and I'm able to see, you know that's not true. And when you get used to taking blessings for granted, just believing you deserve them, it's hard to find a stopping place when you do that. And if I deserve all of the good physical blessings that I have just because I'm me and I'm delightful, then I can look at my spiritual blessings. I can look at the grace of God. And I can start forgetting to marvel at it, to be awed by it, and to recognize it for the blessing that it is. And yet, you don't do that. Brother Jamie just prayed, and he talked to us about Jesus Christ and what God's done for us through His love. And what a blessing it is to me, beloved, to be surrounded by a group of people multiple times each week who recognize those blessings for what they are. When I hear your gratitude and I hear your thankfulness, it reminds me that I don't deserve this. That I deserve the opposite of this. And yet our God is compassionate. He is merciful. He is gracious. And I am reminded that God's grace isn't concerned with what we deserve, but with what we need. You remind me of that. Every time we come together, you remind me of that. You make me a better Christian for it. Thank you. You're a blessing to me. I thank God for the love you show towards one another. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, Paul said this, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Turn your Bibles with me, if you will, over to Philemon. Philemon's not a book that, or a letter rather, that Christians typically spend an awful lot of time in. It's just one page, so if you're having trouble remembering exactly where that is, right before Hebrews. I want to read Philemon verses 4 and 5 and verse 7. We're going to come back to verse 6 a little bit later. But Philemon verse 4, verse 5, and verse 7. Paul says this, "I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints." Verse 7. "For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you." And I want to tell you something right now, brethren. I have derived much joy through your love. My heart has been refreshed time after time by you. And my heart is refreshed when I hear of the things you do for other brethren. And you're not the one who's telling me that. We don't have people who are sounding their own trumpet here and tuning their own horn. But we do have brethren who love to talk about what other brothers and sisters in Christ here do for them. Why? Because we love each other. And boy, we're not surrounded by that out in the world, are we? Not at all.
I know many of you in your workplace are surrounded by hurtful and hateful people. Always complaining. Always cursing. Always doing and saying things that people made in the image of God have no business doing and saying. You're around it all the time. I am blessed in that more often than not, I'm around you. When I have opportunities, I try to speak to those who are not Christians. But I'm just around you. When I'm here at the building working on sermons or studying or writing or whatever it happens to be, every week somebody comes in. One of you just stopping by the building, just doing some errand, having to do something that you're doing. One of you will just stop in and we'll just talk for a few minutes. And just see how much you love each other. And what an extraordinary blessing that is. It lifts me up. It encourages me. You prove yourselves every single time we're together. You prove yourselves to be true disciples of the Lord in this way. I want you to turn your Bibles with me, if you will, over to John 13. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. This is what Jesus says to them. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is a congregation that has love for one another. And you prove yourselves to be disciples of Jesus in that. And I am blessed to be able to be around that several times every single week. You make me better. You encourage me, you uplift me, and you do it with your love. Thank you. You are an awesome blessing to me in that way. Thank God for your love for souls. I told you we'd be going back to Philemon to verse 6. This is what that verse says. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. Let me ask you something. You ever start to think to yourselves, there's just nobody left? There is nobody walking the face of this earth. There's not a soul left in Lexington that has any interest at all in hearing about Jesus Christ. There's not one. I feel that way sometimes. I really do. And I get down about it sometimes. And I have moments where I start to think to myself, what's the use? I mean, I could go over and talk to that person, but why? They're not going to listen. They're not going to care. And then I come here and I hear about the effort you're making individually with people in your family, with friends and neighbors. I hear about the efforts you make with coworkers, some of you leading Bible studies among coworkers. And I'm reminded there are still people out there. You just got to love souls enough to keep looking. And you're doing it. And I thank God that you love souls enough to face rejection over and over and over again in the hope that you'll find that one. I mean it sincerely when I say there are times I grow frustrated. And there are times I grow discouraged. And you help me out of it. Because you love souls. You're a blessing to me in that way. You really are. And I thank you for it. I told you that there was one particular point in this sermon that will be unique to me. And it's this one. I thank you for your support. Your support for myself and for my family. Turn your Bibles with me, if you will, over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1 is where we'll start. We're going to read verses 3 on down to verse 7, and then we'll move to chapter 4 and verse 18. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, to begin, it says this, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Go to chapter 4 and look at verse 18. Philippians 4 and verse 18 says this, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. I want to start with this. You have supported me spiritually. In the 9 years that I have been here, there has never been a single time where someone has come up to me and said, don't preach on this Bible topic. You can talk about anything you want to talk about, but you cannot talk about this. That hasn't happened one time since I've been here. And there have been times, beloved, where I've preached on topics that keep me awake at night, written sermons that, frankly, I don't want to preach, but are part of the full counsel of God. And I preached them, trembling as I did, not out of fear, but just because of the topic under consideration. Finished the sermon, worried about how it would be received. You lifted my arms. Even at times when toes have been stepped on. And let me say this. I step on my toes far more than I ever step on yours. Just be aware of that. And let yet you lifted up my arms. I can't tell you how much that means to me. And believe me when I tell you, not all preachers are blessed to experience that. Financially, you have supported me. Ask pretty much any preacher to list his top five least favorite things to talk about, and financial support is going to be on that list. We don't talk a lot about that. We prefer that if it's going to be talked about, somebody else talk about it. Preachers don't want to think that, or don't want people to think that, hey, he's just saying he wants more money. Paul said after the Philippians had helped him that he was well supplied. Since I've been here, I've been well supplied. That also is a blessing that not all preachers experience. But I do it here. Because of your love for God, your love for His Word, and your love for me and my family. Thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. You are a blessing to me in that way. I want to mention one more point. Beloved, I thank God for you just being here. The Apostle Paul, towards the very end of Acts, has finally made that journey to Rome. It wasn't an easy one, and it took a long time to get there. But as we approach the end of the book, this is what it says in Acts 28, verses 14 and 15. You know, it can be difficult sometimes to try to put yourself in the shoes of the individual. And that's what we try to do with Paul. Now, we know that an angel had appeared to him and that Paul knew he was going to make it to Rome. But were there going to be any brethren there to support him? Was there going to be anybody there to lift up his hands and to love him and to help him? Was he going to have people there who cared? There we found brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome. And the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and three taverns to meet us. Now notice this. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. Paul thanked God and took courage. Some of you have, in the past, thanked me and expressed appreciation for the boldness that you perceive me preaching with. But I want to tell you something. I am not always bold. And there are times when my courage begins to waver. When those times come, and when I am down, when I am discouraged, when I am frustrated, and even, yes, when I am afraid, and I am praying to God to help me, I cannot tell you how many times you have been God's answer to that prayer. It's one of the things that we do for each other. It's one of the blessings of being able to worship so often shoulder to shoulder and heart to heart with people of, as the expression goes, you don't hear it as much now as you used to, but it's true, people of like precious faith. And I know when I'm come here, I'm surrounded by people who love the Lord just as I love Him, who love His Word just as I love it, who love each other just as I love you. And when I'm frightened, and when the courage is wavering, and when I don't feel bold at all, and I need help, here you are to give it. I thank God for you. I thank God for you. You are such a blessing to me. And I wanted to let you know that at this time where Thanksgiving is on our minds. There may be some here this morning who are not Christians, and if that's the case, you can thank God that up to this point He has been patient. We serve such an incredibly patient God. And you can thank Him that a way of salvation has been prepared. Believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He is. Repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus as Lord, and be immersed in water to have your sins washed clean from your soul. Everything is ready. The question is, are you? And if the answer is yes, please come forward now as together we stand and sing.